이야기를.
Yes. So the teachings that we are here listening to now is the actual speech, the holy speech of Jerumche Lama Tsongkhapa. This particular text called the Three Principal Aspects of the Path. And so in order to explain such a text, by following the tradition of the glorious scholars of Nalanda, the glorious Nalanda tradition, the teachings are following are explained according to four outlines. First, in order to show the purity of the authenticity of these origins of such a teaching, to mention about the greatness of the author. Next, in order to show the then mentioning about the greatness of the teachings and its benefit. And then, in order to show the greatness of the instructions, then talking about the in order to show the authenticity of the instructions, then to show the greatness of the teachings. Third is the manner of listening, and fourthly, the actual way of guiding disciples through such instructions. So the first one, mentioning about the benefits of in order to show the authenticity of the source of such teachings, explaining the greatness of the author. So here Lama Tsongkhapa himself has been predicted by the Bhagavan Buddha himself in many sutras and tantras, whereby they predicted when Buddha, within which the Buddha gave a prophecy, in the future there would be a great holy being that will appear in this world to spread the teachings. Yes.
삼리께지나 마드바라께테스 이런 생에 너무 많이와 농대 농요리.
So there is this particular, for example, in the text expressing the names of Manjushri, there is a particular verse by Manjushri, which gives prophecy of Lama Tsongkhapa's arrival in this world, and the word is in there mentions that his name will begin with the syllable Ma. So the Sanskrit name of Lama Tsongkhapa is called Matibhadra. So the Ma is the first syllable for Lama Tsongkhapa's name in accordance with the prophecy.
Yes.
So here, in this particular sutra, which is called the King of Instructions, within this text, then the Buddha gave a prophecy by saying to Manjushri, in the future, when my teachings are close to disappearing from this world, close to totally disappearing from this world, you will assume the ordinary guise of a teacher, and then by performing through that you will revive these teachings, thus predicting that Lama Tsongkhapa is the emanation of Manjushri, and that he will perform the works, enlightened deeds, just like the Buddha did. He will be no different from the actual presence of the Buddha. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Lama Tsongkhapa was predicted by Manjushri in the ornament to the sutras, and also by Chandrakirti in Entering the Middle Way. He was also predicted by Padmasambhava, by Majik Labdrun, and Choje Lama Atisha within the Kadampa texts, it was very clearly mentioned in these various sources, the predictions and prophecies regarding the appearance of Lamantongkhapa in this world.
Yes.
So here, the in accordance with such prophecies, Lama Tsongkhapa came to this world, and then made those teachings of the Buddha that previously weren't spread. He spread those teachings that previously weren't spread, and those teachings which people had misconceptions about, Lama Tsongkhapa came and clarified all those misconceptions, removed them totally, and hence through the appearance of Lama Tsongkhapa, he actually extended the existence, the time of the Buddha's. The time that the Buddha's teachings existed in this world, he extended by 1,000 years. Yes.
Sonje ombu to se ya de renje den ape de kabla jer mo che re da chonju sun ba den le che yo yin ba ko ge ve chen yin jam de yo yin ba te de ne jam yo de la sonje de kum de la ちょっと、そんじゃでけんだな。あ、そのメタはだ。あ、がじてば、あ、そんでんね。よりたくもなす、便利がすよ。せんで、ことじゃんで、たぶんな。あ、てんでそういうんでこんな。ジェンダーすぐよって、けね、またばち。で、ジェルもじで通じちばて、や、ジェンね。え、データがてげちゃおう、せんで、けねのんよんでこんな。
So in the past, during the time of this particular Buddha called Wangbuddha, Lama Tsongkhapa was abiding at that time as a bodhisattva. This particular bodhisattva had relied upon Manjushri as his spiritual friend, as his virtuous friend. So here, while he was receiving teachings from this particular Buddha, Sangye Wangbuddha, this particular Buddha, the Buddha was then expounding the teachings that united the view of the middle way, the view of emptiness of the middle school, as well as with the path of secret mantra. So there was a particular teaching of that Buddha. So then after giving these teachings, then the Buddha asked the audience who will have the ability to spread these teachings amongst the distant lands where these teachings have not spread, you know, those distant lands where Dharma has not spread. Who will be able to spread these teachings in those places where the Dharma has not spread. So amongst the audience, no one dared to make such a commitment, so the rest of the audience was silent. So hence that particular Bodhisattva, who was of the same mental continuum as Lama Tsongkhapa, then stood up and made the promise, made the pledge, you know, to spread these teachings, uniting the view of the Madhyamika view of emptiness united with secret mantra, and to spread these teachings in those faraway distant lands where the Dharma had not spread. So by making such a pledge, the Buddha was extremely pleased and gave him the title the Brave Heart. You know. So hence he was known as the Bodhisattva, the Brave Heart. So that was the previous in the previous lifetimes of Lama Tsongkhapa. So due to such great compassion of Lama Tsongkhapa in his previous lives, then he came to be known amongst the ranks of the learned ones in the land of Tibet, especially as the one who gave a unusual, uncommon way a unique way of explaining the way of practicing, cultivating the middle Madhyamika school of the profound view or the Madhyamika school or middle view school with the practice of secret mantra as found in the classes of Tantra. So Lama Tsongkhapa had his own unique way of explaining the way of cultivating these two in union. Yes.
Mm.
Yes. So here, and so this Lama Tsongkhapa, his holy continuum, his holy mind, appeared in this world during the time of the 14th century in the eastern direction of Tibet, in this place called Tsongkha. You know, so he was born there, and hence he came to be known as Tsongkhapa.
Yes.
So during the time of Lama Tsongkhapa, when he was around the age of 15 or 16, he went to central Tibet, where he entered into the great monastic institutions, and there engaged in studies, in the studies of the texts, and having completed entirely of his studies, then he went forth into actual practice of accomplishing the practices. Then during those times when he was engaging in the practice of purifying negativities and accumulating virtue, he made offerings of mandala by rubbing up on top of this piece of rock over and over again with his bare arms until blood flowed forth. You know, and then also when he was trying to, when he did prostrations, accumulate his prostrations, he did so on this large piece of rock. Once again, during prostration so intensively till his whole physical form was imprinted onto the rock surface. So here, the piece of rock upon which he did the mandala offering, as well as the rock which he did prostrations upon, can still be seen in Tibet. They're still preserved in Tibet. So also when Lama Tsongkhapa engaged in meditative retreat, he had achieved direct visions of the 35 Buddhas of the Confession.
Yes.
So here, not only did he achieve the visions of the 35 Buddhas, direct vision, but he also subsequently came to have direct visions of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the scholars, the great panditas of India, as well as the great mahasiddhas, the great yogis of India. So for us ordinary people to have such visions of such incredible beings, we would be totally overjoyed, ecstatic over it. However, from Lama Tsongkhapa's side, even though he had these recurring visions over and over again, he paid them no heed. He totally ignored them. So then Manjushri then appeared to him and said to him personally, saying that it would be extremely great benefit if you could rely upon the texts or the compositions of these great masters. Therefore, you should pay heed to these visions. So only then did Lama Tsongkhapa start to pay heed to these recurring visions. Other than that, he just simply ignored them.
Yes. And then Yamaso, Jesse, Leo, the Pasay, 엔젤머지 에 자와 도사는 건데 손재기 공부도 아 근데 너네 에 제바노 아 근데 제바 너네 타마 조선의 전화 근데 제든 자매요 매다 매트바 너지 샤세요레 근데 자매요나 간데 쇼기 쇼노 근데 제네 근데 제르미 템바 세존 소마타버스 근데 세 그게 세치 다르숨 제네 세 좋은 탐제도 잡아 세 선보 와 대능신 제르미 템바 좋은 탐제도 잡아 근데 제 야노버레
So here in Tibet, the teachings prior to Lama Tsongkhapa's appearance, the teachings had originally flourished extensively throughout the entirety of Tibet. However, during the time of Lama Tsongkhapa's appearance, the teachings had already come to a decline, a ritual degradation. So here, degeneration. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa appearing in Tibet. Then revived these teachings, those teachings that degenerated, he revived them, and those that were mixed up, were confused, you know, he clarified those teachings. so here, then the way Lama Tsongkhapa did was that all of his compositions, all of his works were totally entirely rooted in the very intention of the Buddha. So he used it, he always referred back to the original source and the Buddha's original intentions when he was trying to clarify teachings or to revive them or to compose them. So whenever he engaged in analysis of the teachings, he always did so by referring back to the Buddha's original intentions. Whichever those that were not clear, he would consult Manjushri, with whom he had a very personal contact. Manjushri always appeared to him at all times, not only in the vision, but always appearing as if he were another human being. That real, actual direct contact. Through that, Lama Tsongkhapa clarified all the whatever doubts he had. And here, hence Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings are said to be like refined gold or purified gold, gold that is totally free, at the most extremely pure grade of gold that is free from all stains whatsoever. So hence Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings, these teachings then came to be known as the Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings. So amongst Lama Tsongkhapa's compositions, a collection of his collected works form into 18 volumes in Tibetan, 18 volumes of compositions. And amongst these various different types of compositions, the primary ones are the graduated stages of the path of secret mantra, as well as the graduated stages of the path to enlightenment or to Buddhahood. So the Ngarim Chenmo and the Lamrim Chenmo, both these two texts elucidate the stages of the path of secret mantra as well as Sutrayan. So these were the two most important texts amongst his compositions. So why is it called the Lamrim or the graduated stages of the path? For example, if we're intending to go to another destination, prior to engaging on our journey, we have the intention to go, we make plans and so forth, then we set out on the actual journey itself, reaching there by gradual stages of our journey, and eventually reaching the destination, ultimately reaching destination. So likewise, when one is cultivating the path of Buddhahood, one needs to begin with proper motivation. So the Lamrim essentially teaches us how to engage in such proper motivation, as well as how to practice during the in-between times. During the in-between, when one's actually traversing the path, how does one do so? How does one engage in actual practice? And ultimately, how does one achieve the result, the results and state of Buddhahood? How is it like? And so forth. So hence, arranging such an entire journey of a spiritual path in a well-understood, well-easy-to-practice manner that is free, entirely free of any misunderstanding or deviated paths. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tendri chonchu lamje rinpaa se deya thome kono ne je ta chonchu se na sonje kombo matuk pa de peke rodo no cha thonga yo deya di no ne zo cheju de kare se na lamje zo nam som se ya minjo son se yon doke tawa di som na thok de kyo re.
So here, to graduate the path to Buddhahood, firstly begins with proper motivation. And having done so, then it teaches us how to go along the path or travel the path of Buddhahood, travel the path gradually all the way up to the goal of Buddhahood. Now, amongst this way of traveling, amongst the spiritual path, the most important of all are the three principal aspects of the path, which are renunciation, bodhicitta, as well as emptiness. Yes. So here, next, when we talk about the Lamrim, which is, as mentioned before, in order to generate faith and instructions, talking about the greatness of the teachings. So here, in general, these three principles of the path are primarily the very intention of the Buddha himself. And here, although it was composed, this particular text was composed by Lama Tsongkhapa, is essentially an instruction, an oral instruction coming from Manjushri. Manjushri gave it to Lama Tsongkhapa in a way of teaching, in a teaching manner. So Lama Tsongkhapa then put these down into wordings, into verses. So it's essentially a teaching from Manjushri himself. Yes.
Yes. Lam lampe jani shivarwa. The lamga nodupuke da lamga ke chesa chesa tendiji so sort of tonsha is on the chesha. The lamga ke chesa chesa tila levala ali lam jena junin rogorwa. A ten nonjim lam jitso namsum the chaki orede tombo ne in it lam so namsum in jutoya yomare. Ti kongi chego yateso or chego yor.
The Tambodin Langazo, Langa Ketchu, the
Langa Ketchu, Kashiona.
Yes.
Then you pine on it, then it's a levy, take it to Mores.
Yes.
You want to tell levies, take it to Mores, and they are Ketchu, Chesu, so then they are his.
Yes.
Send that out, Ketchesa, then Roala, a little Langa Tombud, their Juge in Lepora.
Yes.
Then noisy that the Lamjas saw Namsum. Lamjin on the cage, she should read the Tombo Cone de Lemra Mary. The Conge, Ningyo Jayake, Tabji the Soche, and the Rimbe, Ningyo, and the Yaya, Rimbe and Rokoya.
So here, just now we talked about this path to Buddhahood, similar to a journey that we would take to our desired destination. So likewise, towards the main, when we try to reach the main destination, there is always a main road, or a road that lead, the final road that leads to that destination. However, in order to reach that destination, reach that main road, one needs to go through little pathways and so forth. So likewise, this text is also indirectly showing that one needs to go through various different other paths prior to embarking onto the actual road that directly leads to the goal. So here, the three principles of the path, even though they talk about Buddhahood, however, they show that one needs to go to the progressive stages of the path, such as firstly trained in renunciation, the stages of renunciation and so forth, going through all the necessary preliminaries before embarking on the actual direct goal to Buddhahood. Yes.
Mm-hmm. そんでやけざわて、だんだん、ラムジェソワナムソムトクテギョレ。え、てんでんだんだジェルムジ、ラムレンチモ、レタプゲインジョン、ゾンセン。え、ヨナベタワ、てちチェヤケ、イエラカルゴグノテソン、ジャンノジ、ラムレンジバサミワルワ。え、ディーカランジェジンジャメヨンクセゾンソンチ。え、チョロンデンデサムネネゲテンビラムソムテゲンドゲメンドウェス。え、ソムレ。
Yes. So here, when Lama Tsongkhapa, using these three principles of the path as the roots or as his foundation, as a basis, then on top of that he composed the Lamrim Chenmo, or the great exposition on the graduated stages of the path of Buddhahood. So here, for example, in the three principles of the path, we talk about renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa, using those as the foundations, then he further elucidated on what is required, for example, how the branches or the limbs of the practice of renunciation, of bodhicitta, emptiness, how does one go about cultivating these practices in more detail. So it was said that he was composing the Lamrim Chenmo, and Manjushri asked him, is it the teaching on the three principles of the path, my teachings on the three principles of the path, isn't that sufficient? Isn't that correct? And so Lama Tsongkhapa said to Manjushri, of course it's correct, it is sufficient. Is correct, but however, here I am trying to elucidate even further on these teachings, hence I'm composing the great exposition on the basis of the three principles of the path. So here, thus we talked about the greatness in order to generate faith and instructions, mentioning about the greatness of the teachings. Next is the manner through one which should teach and listen to such a great teaching. So here, there are many parts, but primarily, firstly, the teacher of such a dharma should firstly venerate the founder as well as the dharma teaching itself. So here, this is done by the teacher firstly offering prostrations to the throne. So this offering of prostration to the throne is an act of venerating the teachings. It is said that the Buddha himself, when he was abiding in this world, in order to show his veneration for the teachings that he taught, he personally constructed his own throne with his own hands. So hence, this prostrations that the teacher offers to the throne represents that. And also, with regards to showing veneration to the founder, we began the teachings firstly by reciting praises and homage to Shakyamuni Buddha. And also, in order to remove obstacles and to protect from obstacles or any possible interferences to the teachings, we have recited the Heart of Wisdom Sutra.
Yes. 다 그거 넘버다고 거는 시에나 배영화 전문 용어래. 다 어거노 어주 어 주지자 로마라 네바. 아 로마코노 멤버. 한 주데 맹 소제네. 그 로미 요모베 네다 자야 디체도 시에고 요래.
So here, when the guru of the guru is imparting or teaching such dharma, it is of vital importance that the guru has the exceedingly pure motivation. If the guru does not have such a form of exceedingly pure motivation, it becomes a fault while he is giving the teachings. However, if he does have such exceedingly pure motivation, giving the teachings will be of greatest benefit. So here the guru needs to see the disciples as like a sick patient, someone who is afflicted with delusions, afflicted with afflictive emotions. So here, and the dharma should be seen as being like medicine, and the guru will have to see himself as being like a doctor. So here, the doctor, while the guru is teaching the dharma to the disciples, it is in the manner of a doctor prescribing medicine or giving medicine to the patient in order for them to recover from this sickness. Here in this case, the sickness of the afflictive emotions. Yes.
In Bada, Lomé John, Reda, Jonam Kuba, Tayon Bombata, Chuda, Laman Kuba Nivaja, Rene, Puri Chude Lebdiwana, Nava Ligbarte, Ini nyomu bata mandri bache, ini kong tu bata maji a tembi sim, tende che yada. Tende ya sowa de rona ne bata bata, lamba na men bata bata, chui la men jindu shi, tende che jane nye kukyore.
So here, from the side of disciples, what needs to be observed are manners of showing reverence, in this case, showing reverence towards the founder of the teachings, showing reverence towards the teaching itself, and also showing reverence to the guru or the lama who is giving the teachings. So here, not only does one need to show reverence in such a way, one needs to pay attention to the teachings that are being imparted. One needs to listen with a motivation that is free from any biased attitudes of afflictive emotions. And also one needs, whatever teachings are being imparted, one needs to retain them in one's memory without forgetting them. So here, and also on top of these three ways of listening, also one needs to have three kinds of thoughts. One needs to see, one should see oneself as a patient afflicted with the sickness of afflictive emotions. One needs to see the guru as being like a doctor who gives the prescriptions, and the dharma as being the actual medicine itself that cures all afflictions. So here one needs to be possessing of these three thoughts when listening to the teachings.
Yes. Rongi ju shuda tong ya, yin ba re. Bai na tan da, tong na chaoban do mendo, ndui na melo ya da. Da chaoban do na nang so pa se, ten de chek yorwa. Ten nang yin chek go yorwa. Nguma tan da jirim no na yong yorwa. Da ki choba ngin bi su, chu ji melo san tong ne, yi la dungwa rab ji de, ta ni chu de so ban jor se. Da kono, misha sa ten ke ge, simbo rao ji, yin na na me re.
Yes. So here, when one is listening to the teachings, one should consider it as being a process of cleaning or cleaning up oneself. For example, if one has stains on one's face or one's visage, and one sees that, one has to see that by viewing one's own reflection within the mirror. As I mentioned, there's this particular story of this one king who harmed many, engaged in many negative actions, and then harmed many beings. Eventually came to meet upon this bodhisattva, Gyatsen Dawa, the moon of the victory banner. This bodhisattva who was one of the past reincarnations of the Buddha. By meeting this bodhisattva, the bodhisattva gave teachings to this particular king. Only then did he realize on the negativities of his actions. And from there, he changed his mind, generated remorse, and entered into Dharma practice to purify himself. So therefore, this particular verse that Rinpoche just mentioned was related to that story. So here, but when we're listening to these teachings, one should see these teachings as being like a mirror, a clear mirror, a mirror of Dharma. So here, by viewing one's own reflection within this mirror of Dharma, one can see one's own faults, which are like the stains on one's visage. You know, so by seeing one's own faults through the mirror of Dharma, through that we'll be able to detect what needs to be cleansed, what needs to be purified or removed through this very clearly. Yes. So here, hence we've explained, in order to generate, in order to show the purity of the source, talking about the greatness of the author, in order to show, generate faith in the instructions, talking about the greatness of the teachings, and then the way or manner of listening and explaining these teachings, these have already been covered. Next is the actual way of guiding disciples. Through the instructions, this is done by explaining the actual text itself, the three principles of the path. And here, the very beginning of the text begins with a salutation. So here, in general, a text is composed of three parts: the beginning, the actual text itself, as well as the ending parts. So firstly, the beginning is done by these are what we call the three virtues. Virtuous in the beginning, virtuous in the middle, and virtuous in the end. Virtuous in the beginning, as we mentioned, the salutation is divided into three parts. First is salutation and making offerings. Then secondly is making the promise, pledging to compose the text. And thirdly is exhorting the disciples to listen. Yes. So here, the beginning part, when one makes offerings and salutations, this begins in this text by saying, I bow to all the high and holy lamas. In Tibetan, it says, So the word Jizun is probably not exactly as translated in this particular version. So anyway, so prostrate to the venerable or the perfect gurus. So here, generally different texts begin with different kinds of salutations and offerings. Sometimes, usually saluting all the or paying homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, paying homage to one's own superior meditational deity, or such as Manjushri and so forth. However, in this particular text, it pays reverence to a homage to the lamas or the gurus. In this case, showing that the root of the path to Buddhahood is the proper reliance upon the spiritual master, a proper reliance upon the spirit, the virtuous friend. Yes.
Linda, 제일 단다 송로를 땡주 된다고 공항에 돈바부 접주 농기어를 대가르세나 돈바보데 지휘 담바 시비치 얘다 지휘 담바 남지 자바 친구는 유빙원도 이제 조조 농기어를 조조 세나를 잠로 세나다 지과로 잠로 농기어를 그런데 전력에는 Angola, Chubju Yahindu, Jindake, Dandi, Chivitamin Zeba Tumba, Nonsha, Chivitamin Zeba Yimbari, Tayindu, Tenjindio, Reta, Tachimu Yimbari, Samet, Tenjudin Juyaki, Kakuba Yumi.
So here, in general, following the tradition of the teachings, following tradition of the teachings, in the past, all the holy beings at the very beginning of their compositions always began with offerings and salutations to the enlightened ones at the very beginning, always offered salutations and offerings at the beginning of the text. So this salutation offering is also an expression of refuge in the enlightened ones. So here, by placing such a verse at the very beginning, it shows that such that the reader, by reading this text, will be able to understand that composer of this text has acted in accordance with the deeds of the holy beings, has followed in the tradition of the holy beings, acted in accordance with their deeds, harmonious with their deeds. Therefore, the composer of this text must be a holy being, and this text must be extremely precious. So that hence, in such a way, persuading or encouraging the reader to enter into actual practice of this text. Yes. So here, firstly, in order to show the root of the path, the root of the path is a proper reliance upon the virtuous friend, the spiritual master. So whether or not one arises, whether or not the qualities arise or not well within oneself, depends on how well one relies upon the spiritual master. If one relies well on the spiritual master, one would even effortlessly give rise to various qualities in one's being. So the benefits of the proper reliance on the spiritual master have been explained extensively in the sutras as well as the compositions of various learned ones throughout the entirety of India and Tibet. Here, especially by Lama Tsongkhapa in his text, The Great Exposition on the Path to Buddhahood, Path Enlightenment. In that text, he actually condenses, combines, gathers and condenses all the essential instructions in the sutras and in the various classical compositions, gathering them into eight major themes, or the eight benefits of proper reliance on the spiritual master. So here when we, through proper reliance on the spiritual master, firstly one is able to swiftly give rise to various qualities and give rise to the various collections of goodness within one's being. Secondly, also one is able to swiftly seize all the afflictive emotions as well as the karmic obscurations that one has, that one is burdened with. And also one will be able to swiftly achieve Buddhahood. And then also one will be able to please all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas through one's practice of proper reliance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the reason why the Buddhas would be pleased by our proper reliance upon the spiritual master is that the Buddhas have achieved a state of Buddhahood for our sake, for the sake of our sentient beings. The Buddhas have spent a long time contemplating upon how to guide sentient beings, how to lead them along the path and place sentient beings within the enlightened state of a Buddha. So, however, even so, usually we sentient beings are constantly engaging in negative, non-virtuous actions. However, when we do that, the Buddhas are unhappy. You know, they are not actually pleased. However, their minds are filled with compassion. However, it's not exactly in accordance with their plan. But here, whenever we meditate upon the path of enlightenment, you know, the graduated stages of the path of Buddhahood, when we do engage in virtuous actions, meaningful actions as these, then the Buddhas are extremely pleased, extremely pleased from their own side. For example, if a mother has a child that is usually very willful and very untamed, however, one day from his own side, the child does something good, something that does the mother proud. So from her own side, the mother would feel extremely pleased, something that extremely elated, you know, from her own side, because for once a child is acting well, you know, doing well. So therefore, likewise in this manner.
Yes. Lamayana 토크토 메바체비나 에 근데 에 나라 대나요 초르비아요 말해서 말이 이다 님이
체주지 yes so here we talk about the various benefits of our proper reliance on the spiritual master. However, if one does not rely, practice proper reliance, there's also many faults from that. One will not receive the benefits of proper reliance, and also one incurs a great fault. When we talk about reliance on spiritual master, we're talking about a being that one has established a Dharma connection, already established a Dharma connection with. This Dharma connection is established when one engaged in Dharma activity with this being. Firstly, from the side of the master, having the established a thought recognition of this of us as the disciple, and from our side, establish a recognition of the master as being our spiritual master. So with such recognition from both sides, and then engaging in teachings or initiations and so forth, through that, one establishes a Dharma connection. And having established so, one needs to engage in proper reliance on the spiritual master. If one's practice of reliance were to deteriorate or to go in the wrong direction, then there's great danger or great shortcomings from that. So this is the most important point in proper reliance. Here is mentioned that even though one may engage in extremely negative karmas in the past, such as the five uninterrupted karmas. However heavy these karmas, they can be purified if one enters into the path of highest yoga tantra. And through the skillful methods found in these profound tantras, one can purify entirely however heavy these negative karmas we've created in the past. And then one can even possibly attain enlightenment or a fully enlightened state of Buddhahood within one short lifetime. However, if one's practice of reliance on the spiritual master were to be improper, you know, such as disturbing the holy mind of the spiritual master. In this case, Rinpoche specifically mentioned the master that one has received empowerments from, the Vajra master. One were to disturb his holy mind, or to even despise or disparage the Vajra master. Then even though one may engage in intense and profound tantric practices, such as the highest yoga tantras, still one will not achieve what any siddhi whatsoever.
Yes.
So here, when one were to engage in a practice of proper reliance on the virtuous friend or the spiritual master, then this will ensure that in all of one's future lives, one is never deprived of fully qualified spiritual masters. If one engages in proper reliance in this life, in future lives, one will meet good and fully qualified gurus, spiritual masters. One is never deprived of them. On the contrary, if one's practice of proper reliance were to degenerate, this will affect one's future lives. Cause, as a ripening result of that, one will be deprived of spiritual spiritual masters or our virtuous friends. So hence this practice is of the most important. So here it's important that firstly one investigates the spiritual master well. Prior to establishing Dharma connection, you know, you can do whatever you need to investigate the spiritual master. However, once the Dharma connection has been established, from that moment onwards, one should engage in only respect and pure devotion, proper reliance upon the spiritual master. As mentioned by Drung Dunpa, before, prior to establishing Dharma connection, it's important to investigate well. One can do as one pleases towards that master. However, having established the Dharma connection, once the sign of this Dharma connection being established has completed, you know, once one has gone through the actual process of establishing Dharma connection, you know, then it's important from henceforth to show respect and to engage in proper reliance on the master. If one were to do so, as Rondoba says, if one were to do so properly, one would not be deprived of spiritual masters in future lives. And also, in this way, progressing by stages, you know, each stage would get better than the other in terms of the spiritual masters that we meet.
Kāp sūsū sūsū lā, cīnyi māndāvā sōng yōrī. Rīdā, nūvā nī chēvī yīnā, tēngi jīyō nī yīndā tēmbā sā yārū. Rīdā, ngā kāp lī yīnā, tēngi jū shībā sā yārū, tēngi yōng yōrī. Rīdā, tāndā, rīdā, dō, jī tēnā nē, nā sūn jūsū mī nyam nē, pārcīn chēvī kāp rīvā. Pārcīn chēvī kāp lā, rīdā, yondé chöta dénbaas, gondá déná dévaishí bíná, tómbá bíbí yondé chön dénbaas, yondé áke yondé chöta dénba téné chí súmbarí. Tá yondé tényó, kandé chí ré séná, yché ngóshí séyánó, chukta séyánó, téné chóó marí. Yondé téné mémá yingé chúyé yóngsí kiri, yondé téné ngó kóñé chémó yóri. Oná kárí góri séná yondé chöyé nóné chóó té, Lapa sum ji jyutu waji gurus. Lapa.
Yes.
Lapa sum. Sumbari.
So here, prior to engaging in proper reliance of spiritual master, one needs to first search out look for a fully qualified master in order to establish a Dharma connection with them. So here, and in regards to the quality or qualifications that a guru should possess are different with regards to whatever category of teachings that one may be practicing. For example, the quality within the Vinaya, it talks about two types of qualities. Within the Tantras, it talks about the 14 suchnesses and so forth. So however, here, since this teaching, the three principal aspects of the path is a practice of Sutra. So here, and sutra, especially within the sutra, specifically the practice of the bodhisattvas, you know, the perfections, the six perfections. So therefore, we need to seek a master that possesses the qualities corresponding to this category of teachings. Here, a master that possesses what we call the 10 qualities. So this is mentioned in this particular verse in the Guru Puja text, the offering of spiritual master. It talks about the 10 qualities of the Mahayana Guru. So within these 10 qualities, what one is not seeking is things like clairvoyant powers, you know, or paranormal abilities, you know, so what we call in Tibetan Drupda, or signs of accomplishment, such as being able to perform miraculous feats. These are not qualities of a Mahayana Guru, since these can also be done by worldly spirits. One can being able to perform such paranormal activity or clairvoyance is not necessarily a sign of accomplishment in Dharma. It can be something that is mimicked by under the influence of worldly spirits. So hence, one can be deceived if one were to rely on the Guru just on the mere fact that he can perform paranormal feats. However, here, if one is searching out for a Mahayana Guru, the main thing that one should be seeking, the main qualities I mentioned is the three higher trainings of ethics, meditative concentration, and wisdom. The continuum of the mental continuum of the Mahayana Guru should be one that is well subdued by the three higher trainings of ethics, meditative concentration, and wisdom. So here in the beginning it says, this text it says, I bow to all the high holy lamas. Tibetan is goes something like prostrate to all the perfect gurus. So here it talks about the qualities that the gurus is being endowed with the qualities of the three types of beings in the path. Yes.
Mm. 집이 중요하셔야 돼. 그다 또 반다. 내성의 동안에 좀 랭원도 공부도 야게 다 만나와 드려질라 집이 중요 주고 속에 열어와. 내다 단다 제오 성인도 내성의 동안에 좁을 집이 제오 성인도. 대개는 집이 중요 남들 맞추지 나와 되겠대.
So here, the word in Tibetan for, high and holy, is jezun. Yes. So this jezun is in English, the translation for the whole word is called perfect. However, in Tibetan, this is separated two words, je and zun. Je has something that's like qualified or the Lord, and Zun has the connotation of being pure. So here, firstly, when you talk about this term Jezun, Jezun Lama, referring to the qualities of the Guru being endowed with the qualities of the three capable beings. Firstly, we talk about the lower capable being. The scope of practice of the lower capable being is to protect oneself in order to not fall into the lower realms, and the ability to protect oneself from falling into the an unfortunate rebirth in the future life, and the methods for guiding oneself or bringing oneself to the higher rebirth in the future lives. So the entirety of the cycle of teachings regards to the lower capable being are totally about that, achieving a better rebirth, abstain, and being protected from lower rebirth. So then, hence, the word Jay or Lord, refers to that realization, the capability to do so, to be free from an unfortunate rebirth and to achieve a higher rebirth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 루야게 답시지 자기 어려워. 근데 탈배고모 루야게 남자 소어데 남나바서 냠스내야 되리. 라바소무게 논에다 제자답을 주심. 근데 뜻 고섬 넘어섬 이제 젠섬님 만나봐 송해 되러 좀 봐서 어려워. 근데 뒤 소어 주심 이제 라바 때네 네. 등인제다 시르지 나봐요 대행교를 대개는 그게 남아나 주인에서 쉬운유 집은 대개 남들이 막 두주는 나와 대대
준세디 고승 제발에 준세 돈다 이제
송 준바스 고승 니조는 민조겠지
니조
니조는 만조 위에 나 니조는 돈비 추증
So here, the second word in the word Jezun, Zun refers to this word Zunba, or the pure one. So this pure actually refers to the teaching of the cycle of teachings pertaining to middling capable being, and here the reason being that the goal of a practitioner of the lower capable being their scope, their goal is to achieve a state of liberation, to rely on methods, primarily revealing methods that help one to achieve a state of liberation from samsara. So here, so therefore the main path of their practice is the three higher trainings. And of the three higher trainings of ethics, meditative concentration, and wisdom, the very foundation of these three is ethics, the first one, ethics. So here, Zunba refers to the practitioner or the master, refers to his three doors in the body, speech, and mind, not entering into negative actions, harmful behavior. Restraint from negative or harmful conduct. So hence it is called the practice of ethics. You know, so therefore the word zun means pure, one who is pure in this sense. You know, not entering into harmful actions, but restraining from them. So here, this is called purity in that sense. So this word zun makes a direct reference to the higher training of ethics, but also makes an indirect reference to the higher training of meditative concentration and wisdom as well.
Lama say the la kona koma. The lama the koma jiwa chayo. Na koma se dita kona. Ti kona menge de la koma se di orwa. Nida danda yon koma se yundu ta jiwa chung rengi. Ini jiwa chimbo. Ti kona meba yinza koma jiwa chimbo nam tuju na wate te.
So next, when it says Lama or the Guru, the word Lama in Tibetan means Lana Mepa, or the highest, of which there is no higher. So here, the reason being that the two previous words Jie and Zun were direct connotation references to the lower capable being and the middling capable being, and now here Lama refers to the highest capable being. So here. Since this highest capable being is the highest teachings in the entire path, so here Lama makes a direct reference to that.
Yimarta, Nantagi, Denza Lama, Denji Loma, Teach it all, Tembis Hotela, and Teba Junya, Sambit Denzo Teba, Ta Kubajaya, Jovit Denzo, Ta Kajin Tubatovachi.
So here, when we are, so here, this reference refers to this section. This verse makes a reference to the entire. A section of teachings pertaining to reliance on the spiritual master, that which is to be relied upon, the master, the one which makes reliance, the disciple, and the way of reliance, which is faith. In this case, the root of guru devotion or root of proper reliance on the spiritual master is the training in faith, training one's mind in faith. So training one's mind in faith as well as showing reverence pertain to the section of reliance through thought, you know, reliance through thought in the section of guru devotion, and also indirectly also mentions about the reliance through action, which refers to practicing in accordance with the advice or injunctions of the guru. So here, the verse Jason Lama, here in this case mentions about the quality of the gurus, but also is a reference, an indirect reference to the teachings in guru devotion, which is the root training in faith, training the mind in faith. Then the next words, chatelo, or I bow, I make prostrations. This refers to not only the this refers primarily to the training, the reliance in thought, which is a training in faith. Verbally, when one, how one makes prostrations is through, when one makes mental prostrations to the guru, this is done primarily through faith. The mental prostrations is a factor of, the factor of faith itself is a mental prostration in itself. Then verbal prostrations consists of verbalizing the qualities, such as qualities of the object of prostration, such as the praises and so forth. And then physical prostrations is done through physical acts of veneration and paying homage. So here, when one makes prostrations with one's body, speech, and mind, the mental aspect is that of reliance on the spiritual master in thought, and the physical and verbal prostrations is the reliance through action. Yes. So here in this first salutation, first verse of salutation and bow to all the high and holy lamas, is a is the through that one briefly mentions of the section of guru devotion in the teachings, and the next verse, the next paragraph, is a pledge to a pledge to compose this text.
Yes.
Looks like this version of this translation isn't exactly the best. Here it says the essence of all high teachings of the victors. So the teachings, the essence of victory, as far as I'm able to explain in the sequence in Tibetan, that line is actually the last of this paragraph. It begins with saying the essence of all high teachings of the victors. Here, the essence of that is renunciation. So here, this is a reference to the first principal aspect, which is renunciation, and that's the essence of all the Buddhist, essential meaning of all the Buddhist teachings. And next, the path that all their holy sons commend, or the holy children, the sons of the holy children of the victorious ones, is a reference to the bodhisattvas. So here referring to the Mahayana path, hence making reference to the second of the principle, second principle, which is bodhicitta. And next, the entry point for the fortunate seeking freedom. So here this makes a reference to the view of emptiness. So hence within this line refers to the three principal aspects of the path. And here it says, as far as I'm able, I'll explain within my capability. So this is what Lama Tsongkhapa is saying. This line alone has three possible meanings. Firstly, it probably shows Lama Tsongkhapa's humility. He, in a self-deprecating way, it says, I'm not able to, however, I'll try my best to explain exactly, unable to explain exactly as all the Buddhists and Bodhisattvas intend, however, I'll try my best. Firstly, it could be an expression of such humility or self-deprecating way. And secondly, the second possibility is that whatever realizations that Lama Tsongkhapa has achieved in his being through practice of these three principles, that the totality of that experience is unable to be expressed entirely in words, through words. So that due to the limitation of verbal language, one is unable to express the totality of one's experience or realization through that. So hence Lama Tsongkhapa says, I shall try my best. That could be a second meaning. And then since Lama Tsongkhapa says, even though these teachings cannot be, the totality of experience cannot be fully verbalized, however, the purpose of teachings is in order to generate such realizations in the continuum of the disciples. So here the master is trying, you know, Lama Tsongkhapa tries his best to verbalize as well as able, in order that the disciples, we the disciples, can also generate such similar experience. The third possible meaning is that Lama Tsongkhapa will try his best to generate such realizations within us. You know, so Lama Tsongkhapa will teach in such a manner in accordance with the disciples' capability to practice these teachings. So this is the third possible meaning of this one line. As far as I'm able, I'll explain.
Reda, Ginjo say at the condition of the second of the Senna, Ginjo. Kuan Tada, Dungaji Rongi in the pond. Then the Meji may by the Gil Sudiona. That any but Tontona, some may lose you, Daji Ungarwa. Then Longi, Kovi, Deji, Kandija Yinayo.
So here, firstly, the first of the three principles is that renunciation. So exactly what is this mind of renunciation? It is a mind that sees the entirety of cyclic existence as being totally in the nature of suffering. By seeing it as being totally in the nature of suffering, it is almost as similar to oneself being in the very center of a pit of fire. If you're placed in the very center of the fire, you know, you see nothing but suffering, and also the mind thinks of absolutely nothing but wishing to be free of that situation, wishing to get out of the pit of fire. The mind has absolutely no desire to stay 1 second longer within such a suffering situation. So here, the mind of someone who has generated renunciation has absolutely no desire for the pleasures of samsara whatsoever. Whatever happiness there may be in the realm of the gods above, the realm of the humans in between, the realm of the nagas below, whatever happinesses there are, they're seen to be small and insignificant. The practitioner is simply disinterested, uninterested in such pleasures. Now, even the wealth of the gods are seen to be the glory of the wealth of the gods are seen to be nothing but suffering. Not, you know, it's seen to be like the fire of suffering. Wherever one is born within samsara, within cyclic existence, one simply does not pass beyond the nature of suffering. So therefore, by seeing that reality, one aspires or generates a mind wishing to be free totally from such suffering. So if one is able to generate such an understanding and mind renunciation that continuously arises in one's being throughout all times, then that will be called the realization of renunciation, which is the very essence of all the Buddhist teachings. So here, why is it called the essential meaning of all the supreme teachings? Here, in this text, it says high teachings. One can also understand that to be the excellent or the supreme teachings. So we say there are the teachings of the victors. Here, victors refers to the Buddhas. The reason why the Buddha is also called a victor or sometimes a conqueror is actually a reference to the Buddha being victorious, having defeated the four types of Maras. And also the Buddha having being victorious over the two types of obscurations as well as their imprints. So here, these teachings, these supreme or excellent teachings, all of them, essentially all of the Buddhist teachings are for helping sentient beings to achieve liberation, or freedom from suffering. So all of the teachings are actually methods to help us to be free from suffering. And in order to free all sentient beings from suffering, firstly, in order to effect the process, then sentient beings need to firstly generate renunciation in their minds. And so therefore, in order to begin that process of freeing from suffering, sentient beings need to firstly generate renunciation. Hence, renunciation is said to be the essential meaning of all the excellent teachings of the victorious one. Yes.
Jase tamba namje ngakbi lam jave se zena da chonju sumbarwa chonju sumba tamje jebe ngaju che yage lam de kare re sena ni semje de cha de ore semje za semje kam de semje da chonju je sem chonju jo de semje de semje de se ge orwa da chonju jo de semje de semje se na kan de je re se na Chedachava Semje Tamje Dungal Tandu Ninji Tendija Kun and Lone Semje Dungal Javi Chedu Toza Yonda of the Sunje Kumono Mene Tet Humduji Reta Dumbato Tun Lenji Yijinamji Cheperjan Jela Semje Sigur.
So here, the Bodhisattvas, the next line says, the path that all the holy sons command, which means the path that was praised by all the children, the holy children of the victorious ones. So here, the children, the child of the victors, refers to Bodhisattvas. the Bodhisattvas have praised once again such a path, which is the path of generating the mind of Bodhicitta, the Bodhicitta mind, which is a mind that primarily focuses upon the suffering of sentient beings, and then having the desire or intention to free them from such suffering. Having such a desire or intention to free them from such suffering, which is a mind of compassion, the mind of compassion wishing to free sentient beings of such suffering. And then on the basis of that, then aspiring to achieve the state of Buddhahood, which is the object of attainment. You know, so this mind which attained Buddhahood for sentient beings, this is an aspiration, this aspiration to do so. When it becomes something that's so naturally imbued in our being, then one becomes an actual Bodhisattva. One effortlessly generates such understanding without that does not require reason. For example, if you say, you know, if you're hungry, you know, there's no other reason but to eat. You know, we eat because we're hungry, so there's no other reason than that. So likewise, if you are able to generate such realization of bodhicitta, that naturally once that feeling comes forth naturally, one must attain state of Buddhahood to benefit others. You know, and then one becomes an actual bodhisattva. Yes. So here, the path of bodhicitta, training the and generating the mind of bodhicitta, mind of enlightenment, is a path that is praised by all the Charles and Victors, praised by all the bodhisattvas. The reason being that this path of bodhicitta is indispensable. It's like a beam. You know, if one is building a house, in order for the house to be built, you know, and one needs to have a beam present, otherwise the house cannot stay. So likewise, the bodhisattvas is viewed, the practice of bodhicitta, as being so an essential part of their practice. So if one has generated the mind of bodhicitta, even if one does an insignificant action, such as giving a mouthful of food to an animal, if that insignificant action is done with the mind of bodhicitta, that action becomes a deed of a bodhisattva. It becomes something as glorious as a deed of a bodhisattva, simply by the virtue of its motivation behind that action. So here, and also within the guided bodhisattva's way of life, or alternatively translated as engaging bodhisattva's deeds, this text composed by Shantideva. Within it, Shantideva says that the other virtuous actions are like this particular tree called Chuxing, which is a tree that gives rise, that bears fruit for once, and after that the tree dies. You know, this tree that I don't know what kind. I'll probably find out a name tomorrow. But this tree bears fruit and then it dies. You know, and that's it. You get just one harvest of fruit from that one tree. However, the bodhisattva's deeds are like the junxing, or this plantain tree, I suppose. This tree that bears fruit over and over and over again. You know, so therefore, the bodhisattva's deeds, you know, are endless, and the ripening results of their deeds are also limitless. Hence, this bodhicitta is praised as a path, a path that is praised by the bodhisattvas. Mm-hmm.
말 다 간에 판도 남긴 용어 대해서 인도 용답에 따와 송요래 이제 간대에서 해야 돼 그래 단디네 재미나 소놈도 된 말도 그래다 타바 돈이 돈이 용게 이제 소놈 맹게 이나는 그게 센데 되지다 고게 되지 된데 셴뭐 마도 고래 탄도지도 어째 두고요 말아 근데 대내게는 소놈 야보요니 타바 돈은 얘기니까 노바 요된 게 되지 그러니까 내 탄도 다 대다게 타바 토산 토야게 람다 용어스나 람다 고다 된데 고요 근데 타바 토야게 람 요나 타바는 로사게 고 타바테 이건 답이 답하더래요. 대매나 아니 답아 토야 매하지. 남편이 마치나. 남편이 치나 답아 토용이 와지. 근데 얘도 종어서.
Yes. So here, next, the next line says the entry point are for the fortunate seeking freedom. So here, entry point refers to correct view of emptiness. The correct view of emptiness. So here it says the fortunate seeking freedom. Fortunate refers to one who has enough merit, one who has great source of merit. Due to the force of merit, then one is able to generate the mind that wishes to achieve, that's interested, or seeks to achieve the state of liberation from suffering. And those that are without merit are those who are constantly attached to the pleasures the happiness and pleasures of this life and the happiness and pleasures of samsara in general. Such beings are considered without merits because they are unable to see the need to achieve liberation. So those who have merit are called the fortunate ones that seek freedom. So here, the entry point makes a reference to the path of liberation as well as the door of entry into the state of liberation. So the entry point here is directly referring to the correct view of emptiness.